All right. We are live. Welcome to the NDL podcast. It is our live show for the college football playoff reveal. Jason, we are into block five already. It is our first college football playoff review, reveal, I should say. How are you? And can you believe we're at that point in the season already?
Middle of February, we're on schedule where we need to be to get four seasons in on this game. So, yeah, I can definitely believe we're already that far in, and right now sitting undefeated. I think this is the furthest I've ever gone into a season without a loss. So, kind of enjoying things a little bit.
I wish I could say the same. I'm close. I wish I was without a loss, but I am not. Same with you, man. It's probably the furthest I've gone through into the season, playing as well as I've played or with the record that I have. So, I'm right there with you. We'll talk a little bit here about some games and some matchups. We just went live here, so I am going to try to ping out to the entire NDL that we are live. Anything stand out from the last time we spoke, Jason, in terms of just things that have happened in the NDL? Any big games or results that you've noticed? I guess the floor is yours.
I mean, obviously, we talked last week about the Colorado UCF game. Colorado getting the win there, moving to 7-0 on the season, really starting to D. Kennedy really starting to set himself up as one of the top players in this league and one of the top teams. And then, looking at the Big Ten, we talked about how there was going to be a battle there between Oregon, Wisconsin, Ohio State. And right now, the only remaining undefeated is Oregon, sitting at 6-0. You're right there with Wisconsin, sitting at 7-1 after your win over Penn State. The cannibalism in the SEC has already started a little bit, but you still have four teams. I'll count Texas, I guess. So five teams that are undefeated right now. Georgia sitting at 6-0. Vanderbilt still without a coach at 6-0. And then Jiggy at Oklahoma and Bucknut at LSU both sitting at 4-0. So we've yet to really see the cannibalization start there, but we did get the win by Tennessee over Florida, which ended up being a huge result, puts both of them at one loss right now, and sets us up for a really fun race down the stretch.
Yeah, I love what you're talking about here. I do think you mentioned it. I think there's going to be a lot of cannibalism. You kind of see it in real life too as the college football season unfolds. The SEC is very interesting to me. I think a lot of people thought Big Mike was going to be riding pretty high, going to have a great season. He still is going to have a great season, but his schedule is an absolute gauntlet here. And obviously, you guys who are on my stream right now can probably hear us on audio, but not see any video yet. We will have the bracket up shortly. But it will be very interesting to see the Big Ten as well. Conference that I'm in, I'm having a lot of fun in. Maryland with a big result today, taking care of business against Northwestern. Very weird conference. I put this in my conference chat the other day. There's a lot of, like, you look down the line of coaches and teams, and you're like, man, there's a lot of really good coaches in here. Maybe not quite to the level of an SEC conference, but man, you just read off the names and you're like, Iowa, you got Washington looking really great. You got T. Wade, who's a quality coach. You got Brady, who's, don't let his record fool you. I mean, he's lost a lot of close games. It's just going to be, who can come out of this without any bruises, right? You got Oregon undefeated. I play against him. Obviously, Penn State just took another loss. I got the best of him yesterday, but he's going to be giving some people some hell down the stretch. So we'll dive right into it, actually. I think we got a few more viewers on here. Looks like we're up to seven, but we'll go ahead. We'll take your reactions. We'll start with the college football playoff, so you guys don't have to wait around the whole show. We won't be like the actual college football playoff. Won't make you wait for 40 minutes before we actually reveal the bracket. But Jason, here we go. Hopefully this works. All right, it is up on the Twitch stream. Jason, I don't know if you have it. I mean, you do have. I sent you
Yeah, I've got it.
The graphic earlier. Let me just see if I can make this a little bit bigger on my screen so that people can see it a little bit better. There we go. That should help a little bit. All right. So we'll start at the top. The number one team in the country in the college football playoff bracket goes to Colorado. Surprise here, Jason?
I mean, I don't really think there's much of a difference between, you know, one and two when it comes to looking at this thing, because it's not like there's a home field advantage aspect of it. So I'm not going to have any qualms with it. I will say that, you know, you look at what Colorado has done so far this season. They do have the win at UCF. UCF is an extremely good team. Strength of schedule for the Buffaloes is 11th overall right now. And D. Kennedy's got the third highest defensive power rating, according to the Massey, of any team in the league. You know, so everybody looks at that offense with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, but he's been getting it done defensively. And he's been able to, you know, get wins against a solid Colorado State team, 6-1 UCF. He's beat 5-2 Kansas State. He's beat 5-3 Cincinnati. So, I mean, he's beaten some good teams on his schedule. I have no issue with this.
Yeah, me either. I think you see this as well in the real college football playoff, real life. I think we all know Oklahoma's the best team, best player in this league, two-time defending champion Coach Jiggy. But I have no problem with Colorado being number one. Has probably one of the best wins on his resume already. Like you said, in the Massey and in the team sheet analytic ratings, obviously, you know, crushing people, playing really well. Last season's results don't matter, right? The season before that's results don't matter. I do think it's warranted that Colorado deserves the number one seed. You mentioned it already. You got number two, Oklahoma. We'll go to number three, Louisville. And then number four, Oregon, rounding out the top four. Jason, I'll start with this one. We got Louisville and Clemson, obviously not very far off in the rankings, number three and number six. Are you surprised by that?
No. And, you know, the interesting part with the ACC, and we didn't really talk about it in the beginning, is there's three teams that have kind of set themselves apart in the ACC. But when you look at the rest of the conference, you know, last year there were a lot of teams, and I was involved in it. There were a lot of teams that were at 500 or 7-5, 8-4 in that stretch, and it was a really competitive conference. Right now, the ACC has a lot of teams that are 500 or below, and I think it's going to end up hurting them down the stretch. I think whatever team does pull away and wins the ACC is in no matter what, because you're looking at a Louisville team with MJ Kemp that's 7-0, is playing extremely well. And Clemson, obviously, you know, El Jefe rolling with them 6-0. North Carolina is sitting there at 5-1 and could sneak up. But I don't know that you're going to get two teams out of this league. I think we may look at a similar situation to last year, wherein the winner of the conference is going to be probably a stronger candidate than Miami was, needing to get in with the ACC title game. But you're still only going to get one team out of those. So, I mean, again, Louisville, Clemson, they're going to play soon. Whoever wins that game, I feel like, is in a prime spot for a top four seed.
Yeah, I think there is a chance to get two teams out of this league, and the two I would have to say are Louisville and Clemson. I don't know if North Carolina, they don't play either one of those teams in the regular season, so they don't have that chance to really make a statement. I mean, they have a pretty nice schedule here. They may very well go 11-1 and be in that conference championship game. If you lose the Louisville-Clemson game, so whichever one of those two teams, it might almost be a benefit to take third place and not play in that conference championship game, because then if the winner beats North Carolina, you say, okay, with two losses, they're out. Then you have a little bit of an argument to say, well, you know, our only loss was to the ACC champion and it was a close game. We're a one loss team. You know, are we in? Now, the worst case scenario is that you lose that game, one of those two teams, then you lose again in the conference championship, and you really don't have much of an argument there because you've lost to your toughest game twice.
And I think what could also happen too, and it's very possible, is, you know, the winner of that game goes undefeated and then they play again in the conference championship and the other team loses, and now you've got a pair of 12-1 teams. They both get in that way.
Right. Exactly. So we'll keep going down the line here. Number five, Georgia, out of the SEC. Obviously, Oklahoma getting that first round bye so far. Number six, we just talked about Clemson. We'll go down to number seven at LSU. Not a ton of games in yet, but obviously we all know that coach, and some dominant wins so far. Took care of South Carolina last week, 38-7. That was a big one. Number eight, Tennessee, Coach Vegas, no stranger to the playoff. He was on the cusp in his first season in 29 and broke through last year and got the big win against Iowa while he was at Baylor. Number nine, UCF. You know, I noticed in the coaches' polls, UCF was a little bit lower, but obviously the committee thinks very highly of them. We'll go to number 10, Florida. Just took a close loss against Tennessee. No surprise to see them in the mix. Number 11, you have Notre Dame. Quietly playing very well. You did have the one loss to Louisville, quality loss, if you will. And then finally, number 12 out of the group of five. So, Jason, what is just kind of your overall reaction to this initial top 12? And then we'll dive into some of the teams who are on the outside just looking in.
Well, I think the UCF one is an interesting one because if you look at his team sheet, which again, homie, you're awesome. I don't think you get nearly enough credit for some of the stuff you do behind the scenes and what you do with this website. But if you look at UCF's schedule, first of all, if you just look at true strength of schedule, they have the sixth toughest schedule so far. Second, if you look at their wins, their only losses come against the number one team in the Massey ratings. They have wins over the number 21, number 24, number 33, and number 39 teams in the Massey. So you have four quad one wins already. That they are absolutely worth getting in. I don't know why they're ranked as low as they are, given the only loss is to Colorado. But they have beaten some very solid teams so far this season. They're 3-0 on away from home. With the SEC, you know, obviously Tennessee has a loss, Florida has a loss. They're both in the top 12 right now. Again, we talked about it earlier. The cannibalism is going to happen. LSU and Oklahoma have to play each other. Tennessee has to play, you know, a couple of these teams. Florida has to still play a couple of these teams. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, you're looking at currently what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the top 10. Are they going to be able to get five teams? Is there somebody else who might sneak in like a Texas that we're not talking about right now? Or are they going to cannibalize themselves so much that we see what we saw last year where they only get a couple teams in?
Yeah, I'm just looking at, you know, you have Georgia plays Florida, and then Florida plays LSU, I believe, right, toward the end of the season. Oklahoma plays LSU. Oklahoma already played Tennessee.
Tennessee has to play Georgia.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So this is going to be interesting. I love the SEC. Obviously, there's some great players and great coaches. We'll see how this unfolds with the committee as you go along. Is it more of a quality loss, or is it, oh, well, you lost and you have three and you might be on the outside looking in because of some of these teams like Notre Dame. You have Ohio State down there. Oh, looky here, number 13, Utah. And then number 14, Texas, number 15. Oh, look, that's me. I was a little bit surprised to see me in the top 15. But actually, we'll say with surprises, one thing I wanted to touch on was the Massey ratings and the team sheet. I think the team sheet's awesome. It really gives you like a Ken Palm, like March Madness type of view of your team based on the analytics. And the Massey, I think, is good to a certain extent. One thing that Massey rating can't take into effect is just the eye test and the flow of the game, if you will. And I'm not up here trying to defend myself or say like, oh, I should be higher than the Massey. I really don't care about the Massey ratings. Maybe because mine's been low all season, but I was up 42-14 on NC State going into the fourth quarter, you know, kind of slept walk through the fourth quarter. He scored 23 unanswered, made it a close game at the end. I was in control that entire game. Like there was never a doubt in that game, but because that game was within 5 points in my Massey rating, it hurts me and it makes it look like it was a closer game and he was 0-3 and that's not a very good win, yada, yada, yada. So I don't always take that for, you know, the Bible, if you will, or that's the truth, but that's the one thing on the Massey rating. The other point here is, Texas, love Steam. Think he's easily a top five, maybe top 10 player in the league at this point. You know, he doesn't play as much and he's not really around a ton like he was in season 29. I was shocked to see just a 2-win, 2-0 team crack this top 15. Would you agree, Jason?
Yeah, and I don't know that it's warranted. I have a little bit of an issue with ranking a team that high that's only played a couple games. I feel like, you know, not everybody, it doesn't matter till the end of the season, but, you know, for some guys, they may only make one ranking and it might be something where it's a source of pride to them. And I don't understand I don't understand why putting a team that's only played two or three games in the rankings at this point in time. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not to crap on the committee. They do a great job. They put in a ton of effort. I just would love an explanation as to why we have a team with that few games sitting in the rankings.
Yeah. I mean, again, committee does not have an easy job. It's a thankless job. I think we have a brand new committee this year. Yeah, we do have a brand new committee. That's right. I don't know if we'll have Coach Six on later. I did invite him and had not heard back yet. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, not that we're just here to reward people for playing games. You want the best teams and the best players in this playoff by the end of it. But yeah, I was a little shocked by that. So looking
especially
at
the, especially when you look at the fact that his only two games have come against Temple and Western Michigan. Like yeah, that doesn't for me that doesn't scream. That doesn't scream tournament worthy to me.
Right. No, I agree. And he's not in it, right? He's not in the top 12. That makes sense. But even just to see him close to the top 12 was a little bit surprising. Let's talk about the SEC. So five teams here, over under, does the SEC get over 4.5 teams in this playoff?
Under. I mean, there's no way. Cause you're looking at, you're going to have, one of them will be a conference champion, and you'll have three other conference champions, so that you're down to eight teams. Notre Dame's probably going to get in, so you have seven teams now. You're going to have a group of five team that gets in. So now you're down to six teams, and you're trying to get four SEC teams in those spots. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I see Vic is in the chat saying that there's a way. Of course, there's always some sort of way that it could happen. You talk about the Big Ten, only see one team here. Two teams here. You have, well, no, one in the 12, and then you have Ohio State and Wisconsin here at 12 and 15. Do you think there's any way the Big Ten could get two teams, or is there just too much parity and too much cannibalism there?
No, I think it's very likely you get two teams. You've got Ohio State, yourself with Wisconsin and Oregon that are all sitting at 5-1, 7-1, 6-0. You know, two of those teams are likely going to make the conference championship game. And depending on who wins, you know, if Oregon runs the table and then loses in the Big Ten title game to a one-loss team, you're both getting in.
Yeah, and one really weird wrinkle in the Big Ten is, like, you could see a team coming out of the Big Ten, like a Maryland or maybe a Washington, maybe myself in Wisconsin, that makes that conference championship game with all the two-loss tiebreakers and a bid steal, right? I mean, I'm not chalk and Shell yet. Maybe even Ohio State too. You can't give them. Obviously, Shell got the big win and he's a little bit ahead there. But you could see something weird like that, where you have a 9-3 or a 10-2 team get into that conference championship game with two conference losses and steal a bid. I don't know if you really see that out of the other leagues. You know, Colorado's in the driver's seat. The winner of Clemson, Louisville, is going to be in the driver's seat. And then, you know, the SEC it's going to get at least two, if not more teams. I would say probably three is the magic number there. But yeah, let's talk about Old Dominion here. Obviously, there's been some chatter about Old Dominion's strength of schedule, who they've played, who they have on their schedule. I think they're the best group of five team right now. But you know, does the strength of schedule play in down the stretch? Could someone, I guess, jump them even if they go undefeated and win that conference championship?
Well, I mean, it's going to depend. You know, first of all, they got to play Southern is still most likely, so that'll come into play. I think when you look at the other teams, San Diego State sitting at 5-1, if they can run the table, finish at 12-1, they're going to be in the conversation. Fired up Chip at Central Michigan, 5-1, same deal. If he can run the table, finish 12-1, he's going to be in the conversation. You know, it will come down to strength of schedule. I think you're going to have some guys that are going to get rewarded for playing good, you know, better teams. And I know Old Dominion, Marion County has talked about the fact that he scheduled Texas Tech, he scheduled Virginia, and they haven't been that great. That's one of the risks you take. If you schedule a mid to lower end team from a Power Five conference, not all Power Five schools are the same. And, you know, sitting with a strength of schedule of 105, you look at the Massey ratings, there's only one team out of, or two now with the win, but I don't, keep in mind games that happened today and yesterday, I don't think are counted in this. So he beat Georgia Southern, which will help. But prior to that, he only had one team in the top 60 in the Massey that he had beaten. His other wins have come against ranked 110, 107, 112, or sorry, 110, 107, 90, 85, and 122. Like, that's just not going to get you there. Now, he's still got App State. The Georgia Southern win's going to help. He's got a solid Arkansas State towards the end of the season. You know, you win those convincingly and you get some losses in other places, then, yeah, I think you're getting in.
Yeah, glad you brought that up. He obviously just had that win against Georgia. No, not is it Georgia Southern? Yeah, Georgia Southern. That went final. Looks like 49-21. So convincing win there. Obviously, this bracket and these rankings came out yesterday, or were decided yesterday before results. So there's, you know, some games that are starting to come in that are not factored into this, which is actually perfect timing. We now
and real quick too, we have to discuss the fact that, you know, right now Sam Houston State's sitting there 5-0. You know, there's no lock, there's no guarantee that he'll be the only undefeated team,
right,
in the group of five if he runs the table. So there's still other possibilities.
Yeah, and you just mentioned the big win, or you just mentioned San Diego State. They just had a massive win as well last night, 1-point win against Boise, and that's definitely going to hold some value and some weight as we go down the stretch. But great timing. He just joined us. We are here with our CFP chairman, who leads the committee. We got 6 feet deep on Coach Six. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for getting this going. I didn't even realize that we were already up to the first ranking until like 2 days ago. But, you know, one, how are you doing? And two, how are you feeling?
Doing all right. Sorry, I'm a little late here.
No worries.
And feeling pretty good. And because I'm late, I kind of missed what y'all have discussed so far, so I'm coming in blind.
we'll give you the cliff notes. I don't think there was really too much in terms of issues. I know last year when we did this for the first time, the chat was going crazy and on fire. Oh, how is this team here? How is this team there? I don't think Jason and I really disagreed on much at all. We did say the one big thing was Colorado number one over Oklahoma number two. Just with Oklahoma being, you know, two-time defending champion, has not lost a game yet. He's been number one, you know, all season. But Noah, talk to us a little bit about this year's committee. I know you can't give away names, but I guess how has the process been so far, and how did these results shake out?
So, as you know, we selected the committee this past week. Got mostly new members. There's a few return members, so. But we tried to get as much new blood as possible. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, the most active coaches and the ones keeping up with stuff are going to be the same coaches every year. But we've got in some new blood. This new committee is a little bit more argumentative than the previous committee. So they're already kind of going at it, even in this first process. This first process is always rough, though, because everyone's getting in for the first time, seeing what it's like. Not all the games are even between, you know, games played. So this first week was kind of rough, but everyone had opinions, so that was good.
So does that work in their favor, or does that work against them? I know it may take more timing-wise, but I guess wouldn't you rather have a more argumentative committee, excuse me, I can't talk tonight, than everyone who just agrees? That way they're really making sure they got the best teams in the slots here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We really don't want people to all agree with each other. But at the end of the day, we need them to agree, because there's only 10 members this year. So 8 out of the 10 members have to agree. So they could be argumentative, but at some point they need to start swaying, because, you know, when you got like, you know, 5 for 1 and, you know, 4 for another and 1 for another, need to start getting some votes switched there.
Yeah,
so don't want to be there all day. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that hot topic of debate? You don't have to, there might've been multiple or a bunch, but what was the hottest topic in this first committee run?
So I could give you the topics. I'm not going to divulge what teams we were actually talking about, but the hottest two topics that always come up is games played. It's hard to rank teams that haven't played, you know, over teams that haven't played, whether or not you think that team is better or what have you. It's, you know, it's hard to reward teams that only play two or three games, right? When you have other teams that have played as many as eight. So that's rough. So that's a hot topic. And then the other hot topic is, are we ranking the coach or are we ranking the team's resume? And that's the other hot topic. So those are usually the two most contested topics this early in the ranking system.
Yeah, I guess the thing that Jason and I were talking about before you jumped on was Texas being at 14, and you talked about ranking the coach, or, you know, trying not to let the past results or the past performances just get in there on this season. Texas is 2-0. I think Jason said it was like Western Michigan and then some other group of five was his two wins. Not that you can't share everything, right? But what was the reasoning in having Texas at 14?
He was mostly hard to rank because he only played two games. It's hard to rank a team with only two games of resume versus all the other teams. I mean, right, we're, so what? Eight games into the year, and he's only played two games. So, unfortunately, because he doesn't have, you know, at least four games in the book, it's hard to rank him. So, which is two games of resume, it's hard to rank him in the top 12.
So
our question was, why is he even anywhere near, like, why is he in the discussion? And we get that, you know, he's a good owner. He had a great season last year, but is this something where maybe moving forward, you know, in order to be in the discussion for being in the rankings at all, you have to have a certain number of games played?
We were thinking about instituting that, but because we didn't do it going into the ranking, we didn't have it in place. So that's why he is where he is. But going forward, we probably will have like a minimum games played. I mean, there's a minimum games played that you need when we're deciding on who to put on the CFP committee. So at some point we may have to start applying it as, you know, putting you in our rankings. So you may not be in the rankings early on in the year, but it feels weird though, because let's say he only has like, you know, very few, or let's just say Coach A only has like a few games played. Then by the end of the year, all of a sudden he shoots up into the CFP ranking. So it's kind of a catch 22, right? It's kind of hard to say, oh, well, where did they come from? Well, he finally got his, you know, Coach A finally got his games in toward the end of the year. So it's rough, right? It's kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard to balance. And the one thing that the CFP does not want to be is, we don't want to be the gatekeepers to any coach not being in or out. I mean, we kind of are, but we're not making judgments on coaches, right? We're making judgments on the teams. So we got to not say, oh, well, you have to have so many games played or we're not going to rank you. Otherwise, we're kind of doing the admin team's job, right? Now, if the admin team comes in and says, hey, the CFP needs to put a rule in place where if a team doesn't play so many games, they can't be in, then we'll do that. But it's kind of hard for us to do it on our own. So we just kind of, as of right now, we know Texas is a highly rated team. We know they have a good coach. They haven't lost any games. So they're kind of in the discussion, and that's why they are where they are, because we kind of know they're good. But if it kind of continues, if they're still 2-0 on the next one and still haven't played no games, I'm going to be honest, you probably won't see them in the rankings.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I understand you don't decide this. This is 10 other people on this committee. I think you might have answered my question already. I was going to ask, I mean, is that something that the committee can institute? Is that, you know, hey, at this point, you got to have at least four games played? But, or is that more of an admin thing? Is that, like, they have to kind of make that call and then you guys institute it?
Well, we were talking about it on this last thing, as the committee was like, man, how do we rank these teams? We should put it in a place. So the committee themselves wanted to put in, like, the group, I didn't even suggest it. The group themselves said, you know what, maybe we shouldn't consider teams that don't have a certain amount of games played by certain weeks. So we kind of got to go to the admin team and see if that's cool, if we can do that. And then if the admin team agrees, then you may start seeing that.
I guess next question here for me is, I mentioned this maybe a couple weeks ago on the game day show, that I think it would be really beneficial the first and maybe second reveal to go deeper, maybe down to 20 or 25 teams. How impossible would that be with a group of 10 guys who are all kind of speaking their mind and speaking what they think?
Well, just to get to 15, it took us an hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say, guys, I need you to stay another 30 minutes. Because when you the first 12 is actually, it's the first ones out. And when you start getting 15, 16, that gets a lot tougher to judge teams against each other. So it's a little hard. I'd love to say we could do 20 to 25, but I'm asking guys to meet on 10 different guys to meet at the same time on a Sunday or, you know, Saturday or something like that. I mean, y'all know how hard it is just to get another guy to meet with you for an hour to play a game, right? Yeah. Imagine 10 guys.
Or a podcast.
Yeah, or a podcast, right? So imagine how hard it is to get 10 guys to agree on a time to show up. So, yeah, I try not to keep them too long. And if I told them 20 games or whatever, I mean, 20 teams, 20, you know, 20 ranks, we'd probably be pushing almost 2 hours. And the only time I really want to go that one is on the last one, to be honest.
When it
really matters and when we really need to show – like where you fell, like 17, 18, you know, this is why this G5 team made it or what have you over this other G5 team. So stuff like that, I don't want to keep the guys too long or no one will want to do it, right? If I come to you and say, hey, do you have 2 hours to spend with me and 10 other guys every week? Yeah, every Sunday. They're going to be like, hell no. So,
Sammy.
We're trying to keep it around an hour.
Yeah, Sammy's mentioned this in the chat, and I think I've heard it before too, is that some conferences actually have tiebreaker rules that come into effect that is based on their CFP ranking. So if like so-and-so is ranked higher in the CFP, they get to go to the conference championship game, et cetera. I guess, is there any scenario that when you get to these last two, you are going further down to 20 or 25, or do you think you guys are just going to stick at 15 for now and just use the other tiebreaker methods?
No, so last year we actually used the CFP for the Mountain West Conference. So we actually had an emergency meeting just to make sure that we had a ranking for the CFP for that's why you had San Diego State versus Colorado State last season in their conference championship. Was it them? Yeah, it was the Mountain West.
Yep, that was right.
Yep. And so we actually had a meeting specifically for that and went and kept doing rankings until we had San Diego State, Colorado State, and Boise ranked.
Who are some teams here? And obviously I know there's not teams past 15. I guess technically 16 with ODU there. Who are some teams that were just on the cusp there of cracking into this top 15? Some guys who maybe just missed out.
Well, I do need to say that just because ODU is there at 16 on that thing doesn't mean they were actually 16.
Correct. Good call.
They were just the best. They were just the best G5 team that we had at the time. So other teams starting to get mentioned around that spot. Let me see. Give me a second. I know we had the North Carolina was around that spot. It would have been nice if I was more prepared, huh?
No, we're just happy you're here.
Let's see. Who do we have up there? I think North Carolina was probably the 16th spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when it came down to the last team out, we were debating between North Carolina Whiskey and Old Dominion. So those were kind of like your last few spots. After that, no one really mentioned anything, so I can't say. There were other teams that got mentioned, but not for that particular spot. So there were other teams that were mentioned, like Illinois, who you know people thought were doing a pretty good job. I can't think of the other teams off the top of my head, but that's pretty much what that last few spots were between Whiskey, North Carolina, ODU.
Okay. Jason, any other questions for six?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it all.
Trying to scroll through the chat here and just see if there's anything else coming up. Doesn't look like I'm seeing any other questions. Six, anything you got for us? Any questions for us or anything you want to talk about CFP related?
No, I'm good. Like I said, I should have been more prepared, but didn't come as prepared as I thought I would be.
No.
But no, if y'all don't have nothing more for me, that's pretty much it. Like I said, the first one, it's kind of rough. It's hard to judge all these teams. They get a lot easier, I think, once we start seeing more games played. Also, too, because people start playing each other and knocking each other out.
Right.
So it's easier to rank these teams. Right now, it's very opinion-based, right? Even with some of the Massey ratings, that first one, because just the difference in games, it's hard to do. So,
well,
I look forward to the upcoming weeks when more games get played and it's a little more pitcher.
I do as well. I just had another question, not a question that came up, but I see a chat here about needing a transcript of this to print and put in the Bearcat locker room. I'm assuming that's Sam Houston State, who is sitting at 5-0, having a nice season. I guess how close were they in discussions? Were they the second best G5 team, or I guess, you know, where did they stand?
I feel bad for the Bearcats because out of all the cats, that was not the one mentioned. What's the mascot for Cincinnati? Is that also a Bearcat?
That is the Bearcats, yeah.
Yeah, they were mentioned over to Sam Houston, so sorry, Sam Houston.
Yeah, no, the group of five is interesting. I mean, you have some one-loss teams who may even get a little bit more street cred, if you will, like a San Diego State who, you know, obviously plays in a little bit better of a conference, but there you go. You got your bulletin board material, Sam Houston State.
I mean, where are the Bearcats in? Are they MAC or are they?
No, it would be Sam Houston State in Conference USA. I want to say
Conference USA. Nobody even remembers Conference USA. Sorry, Sam Houston.
Oh, so there is some committee bias on power conference. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just messing with him.
No, that's fair. Well, no, we appreciate you joining us. It's a thankless job. You guys spend a lot of time. I think you don't get as much credit as us media guys do and some others. You guys are putting in just as much time as we are, just a little more behind the scenes. So we appreciate you, Six.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you know, that's the CFP. I will leave this up on the screen as we wrap up the show. We'll probably go for another 15, 20 minutes just talking about the results of Block 4 and a little bit about Block 5. But, you know, we talked about it. I'll go through the games of the week here. We had one result come in already. The aforementioned San Diego State took down Boise State 31-30. Looking at the games of the week in order, you have Oregon versus Illinois, a big game in the Big Ten. Got Texas A&M versus LSU. Texas A&M looking to stay alive in the SEC. Georgia versus Florida. Florida needs a big comeback, bounce back win to stay in the mix. Then you have Clemson at Louisville, who did start to play but had a snowstorm and had a power outage. So we're waiting on them to wrap up the game. And then finally, Wisconsin versus Iowa, big matchup in the Big Ten to stay alive for both of those teams there. Jason, let's talk a little bit about Block 4. We'll go through some of the results here. But what stands out to you so far from, I guess, any games in Block 4 or just, you know, big themes or motifs going into Block 5?
No, I'll be completely honest. I haven't gotten to watch any games or anything like that. Obviously, we got a result tonight with LSU beating Ole Miss by 3, which is a very big game. You know, LSU's got up to 5-0 now in the season. there was the I'm trying to scroll up here. I didn't get to see it, but apparently last night, the San Diego State Boise State game, which, you know, again, huge game for who's going to win that conference, apparently came down to a bad clock management situation. I'm not entirely sure, but San Diego State wins by 1 in that one. And then trying to scroll back up here. U beating, it's so weird to say that because it's like, do I address them as Wisconsin or just say U beating Penn State 30-10? You know, Nidler's having a little bit of a down season compared to last year, but still a big win for you to get to 7-1.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I think the biggest surprise for me was the Oregon-Ohio State score. You know, Shell putting up 45 points on that defense. He was at home, but looking at that box score, 14, 14, 14, and then three in the first, second, third, fourth quarter. You know, that was a blowout. Really wasn't even close after the first quarter. Good to see BYU get their first win, actually two in a row now. And then I think the one that everyone was talking about here in game day this past weekend was Washington going into Iowa and stealing a win in overtime. A three-point win for the Huskies really kind of shakes things up in the Big Ten. You had the big loss, Fresno State losing by one to Lick at Washington State, and then a couple others here. You know, Illinois taking care of business. Penn State was back on track, beat USC pretty good in week, I think that was week seven. And then you have Wisconsin, Rutgers. I know it's weird to talk about myself, but man, Beer Cop had me in hell. That was a hell of a game that he played. Just want to shout him out. I think Wobbles talked about him as well on game day this past week. Beer Cop is the best 1-6 player I've ever played against. He had it rolling. He's a super improved player from when I played him two seasons ago to where he's at now. He is going to beat somebody big down the stretch and mix things up or make things interesting in the Big Ten down the stretch here.
Yeah, and then, you know, we've also got this week upcoming, we got the first round of the Beefy Cup, which, you know, you look at the matchups in there, I think there's a lot more games than that that I'm interested in than in the actual regular season. We got some juicy storylines with, let me pull it up here. You have Utah and SMU in a rematch of last year's very crappy ACC tiebreaker scenario where I'm going to get my revenge. Block M keeps wandering into the Big 12 chat like an old man who's gone missing from the nursing home. We got to call Life Alert and get him back to his chat. You've got multiple rivalry games with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State playing each other with what was the other? There was another big one in here. I'm trying to find it now. There was another huge, like, actual rivalry game, and now I can't find it. Help me out here.
There was Florida, Georgia, and then there was another big one too.
No, Florida's playing Boise State.
Oh, in the Beefy Cup. You're talking Beefy
Yeah,
Cup.
Yeah. North Carolina, Tennessee will be a great game, by the way. Stanford Cal, that's what it was.
So oh,
Stanford
that's,
and Cal
that's
have right. played each other twice. Iowa versus Virginia Tech is going to be one heck of a game. I'm going to be very interested to see who comes out of that one. And then you have a game with Utah State, and if you win, you'll actually most likely come up against Old Dominion in the next round.
Yeah, I did notice that. That'll be fun to play MC. Nice little, top 15, top 20 matchup in the Beefy Cup, potentially. I'm not chalking my win by any means. But yeah, no, the Beefy Cup's going to be great. A lot of awesome matchups. I'm actually looking at, there's one game I wanted to talk about that I completely forgot about.
Oh, by the way, Miami and Florida have both advanced and are on a crash course for a Elite Eight matchup.
Okay. It's two rounds ahead yet, but we'll see how that shakes out. No, there was one game I wanted to talk about that happened that the chat was kind of going off about, that it was a very close game. I noticed that Wake Forest was actually winning going into the fourth quarter. They were up 21-17 on Clemson. Clemson had a huge fourth quarter, 17 points. Phil Maffa ran for 254 yards, 175 yards after contact. Just insane numbers there. Obviously, El Jefe having a great, great season, but really want to shout out Dre for, you know, off to a hot start, 3-1, 0-1 in the conference, still really in the mix. We talked about North Carolina. We talked about Louisville and Clemson, but very valiant effort by the Wake Forest Demon Deacons there.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's Genty level rushing stats right there.
Yeah. And one other shout out too before we move into block five, Hawaii, Jeff Daddy, having a really tough season, just got a huge win. I think it was last night as well to get on the board for the season. Kind of an upset, one people may not have thought was going to happen after, you know, starting 0-6, but you know, tough to see him starting off that bad. I know he's had a couple pretty nice seasons the last two. Hawaii is not an easy team or a great team to play with, but good to see him on the board there. All right, let's talk a little bit about block five here. Looking at the standings, Jason, we talk about it every week, but I want to start with the American Athletic Conference. Again, they're at the top of the board. You really see this one shaking up as a three-team race. You know, you got Tulsa with SSI, still some games to play, tough loss to Baylor, earlier today, but not in the conference schedule. So he's still sitting nice. And everything looks like it's shaken up for a Tulane versus, East Carolina matchup. And that could be teams that are legitimately have a shot to maybe crack the playoff. If Old Dominion can fall off, or if, maybe even just another spot opens for the group of five, as we've seen, happen in past seasons.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Tulane and ECU, they're both sitting 6-1 and 5-1 respectively, but they've also both have two of the worst schedules in the league. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, even with a big win of one of them over the other, is it going to be enough to launch them into the conversation if their schedules continue to be this bad?
Yeah, I mean, someone in this conference has to win games, right? I mean, I'm just kind of looking at it from Rice on down, 1-7, 1-3, 0-2, 0-4, 0-5, 0-4. At some point, someone's got to win some games, and I think that opponent record will change. But no, I think Petty got a win today. SSI still 2-0 in the conference. He was a very hot, very quality player with an absolutely brutal defense. So going to keep an eye on that conference race. A lot of big games coming up here in the Big 12. I think, is it Utah TCU this week, Jason, or is that?
Yeah, it's going to be this week. We were trying to get in last week, but some things just didn't line up. Okay. So yeah, that's going to be one of my, that's the game that's probably going to decide whether or not I reach win goal or not.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I think TCU is on life support in the conference. Like I said, two losses doesn't necessarily take you out of it, but a third loss would for surely do them in. One team in the Big 12, too, that I think is starting to make a little bit of a run here. 3-0 in the conference, 3-2 now overall, is Kansas. Shout out to Razorback for getting hot and making my strength of schedule look better. But do you think Kansas has a shot here, Jason, to make a run in this conference or stay relevant as we get deeper into it?
Looking at their pulling up their schedule now here, because that's the biggest thing is, you know, who do they play? Who do they have to play? Do they avoid any of the big teams? I know they don't play me. Stuff is taking forever to load. Still have to play Kansas State, still have to play Colorado. So that's going to be the tricky part. You know, 3-0 right now. If you can get through with one loss, I think, you know, I don't know that anybody's going to beat UCF the rest of the way. I don't think anybody's going to beat Colorado. So it's almost a thing of you've got to have just one loss and hope to beat a tiebreaker against UCF.
Yeah, I think it's a three-team race. And like I said, a lot is going to hinge and depend on the Utah TCU result. But yeah, I think, you know, it'd be interesting. I do think there's some teams that are going to play spoiler here as we go along. I'm actually looking at, you know, Kansas is one of those teams. And out of the SEC, only five games in so far, sitting at 3-2, is Roke or Rock at Kentucky. He's 3-2, 1-2 in the conference, but that's a team that I think is going to play a spoiler here down the stretch, especially in the SEC. Is there any teams that come to mind for you, Jason, that could do that or blow up one of these conference races?
I mean, I think the interesting thing is going to be whoever takes over Vandy, because obviously they won't be able to get into the SEC championship game or the playoffs or anything like that by taking over in the middle of the season. But if they can continue where the previous coach left off and beat one or two of these highly ranked teams, it could completely screw things up for them.
Yeah, it's again, not a shame that the coach who broke the 35-point rule is gone. It's more of a shame that Vanderbilt was 6-0, and we're never going to get to know or see how that story unfolded. Obviously, I think Vanderbilt was a fun story in college football in real life, and yeah, it's too bad we don't quite get to see that shake out here.
And then Washington, you know, can Dub continue to go on a run? He's sitting at 3-1 right now. If he can continue to go on a run and win some games, how does that shake up the Big Ten Conference?
Yeah, I'm fortunate I do not play him. I have played him in a scrim a couple seasons ago. Very, very good player. I believe Washington is his team, hence the name Dub for UW, even though I'm the real UW at Wisconsin. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, we're going to see a lot of these races unfold here, I think, in the coming days. I think when you hit block five and going into block six, you got a pretty good feel for who's still in it, who's got a shot, and, you know, who's maybe a pretender, who's not quite, you know, you're not going to quite see that last week or two of the season fighting for that conference championship spot. All right. Well, I'm just scrolling through games here for block five. Obviously, we went through the games of the week. I don't know if you're looking through, Jason, any here. I see a couple good matchups. I got Oklahoma, Ole Miss. Ole Miss just suffering a very close loss. I love the Nebraska-Ohio State game. I think MGR is starting to figure things out and play better. You know, I do know he has a suspension, so that's going to be pretty tough to overcome. But that game could shake some things up here in the Big Ten. And then curious to see if Chase at Virginia Tech can get things going in the ACC. Only one loss in the conference, and you know, a lot of games to be played, a lot to shake out. But any other matchups here on this list stand out to you, or anything you want to mention before we wrap up today?
Not really. My stuff is taking forever to load, so I can't even get it loaded up.
No worries. I know you're having some back pain and some back issues too, so I appreciate you staying up late with me. We are getting close to the top of the hour. But yeah, I think that's really all we have. I see a couple of results just full or came through. You had Jiggy in the Beefy Cup just blank Oklahoma State, which he will end up playing again here in the season. 35-0. Looks like Petty score is finally up. Big 34-3 win. SMU back on track, 27-17. And then obviously Decane taking care of business in the cup as well, 35-0 against Michigan State. That's all we got for this week, guys. Really appreciate you all jumping in. We'll get this posted up on the Spotify channel, but, yeah, we'll close it out with that. We'll talk to you guys all next week.